The word that God birthed in my spirit this week when I was praying was seeds of greatness. Somebody say, seeds of greatness. That's you. You say, how can I be great? The Bible says when you become least, you'll become great. When we become as a little child, we'll become great. And I want to share some of those scriptures with you this morning, and then we'll get right back into the presence of God. You know how we roll around here. We'll get right back into his glory because we're always in his presence. The word is his presence also. Amen? So I looked up the word greatness, and it means much, many, abounding in. Somebody say greatness means much, many, abounding in. Seeds of greatness. Hallelujah. Let's look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 10. Something spit all on me in there, so I have it, stuff's all over my skirt. Just stuff spilled, everything try to happen. But you know what? I already know that when I go to church, I go to a battle. But we win it every Sunday.
Yes.
So we get out of that battle, and then we get into the victory, and then we go home, and we're so happy because God had his way. So none of that stuff fazes me anymore. It doesn't matter, you know. I just know that when the devil tries to show up, then God's fixing to blow up. The devil's fixing to show up because God's fixing to blow up, and he's fixing to show out, and he's fixing to demonstrate his power. And if you don't ever have any opposition, I had to be wondering, am I doing anything to be fought for? I'm talking about churches in general in the world. If we're never fought, if there's never any opposition, your sound equipment don't try to manifest, or somebody, you know, Julie said, well, I'll be at prayer some days, Pastor, and I've done learned that when that sick thing come on me, it used to get me to go home, but she said, I just ran into the bathroom, threw up, and come back and started praying. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's how you raise up generals in the faith. That's how you raise up sergeants. That's how you raise up warriors. Warriors aren't wimps. If they lay down, then everybody around them is going to get shot. If I lay down, then everybody, all my brothers and sisters are going to get hit. I got to stand there and fight through that battle until the victory. And then I can call myself a warrior. But God wants you to know you have what it takes on the inside of you. His name is Jesus Christ. And seeds of greatness are rising up out of you so you can be great through the land. You can be great through the land. Like he told Abraham in chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. He said, I'll make you great, I'll make your name great, and you're going to make the nations great. He said, every family's going to be blessed because of you, Abraham. He said, I'm going to show you how to do it. Leave your family, leave everything you know, and step out here in faith. Step out here in faith. And when you step in faith, then I'm going to be there, and you're going to show greatness. Greatness is going to come forth. Everybody wants a great ministry. Everybody wants to be great. There's a price to being great, huh? But the price is worth it. He said, the kingdom is like a pearl of great price. And what man, if he found that kingdom, he found that pearl, he wouldn't give up everything to get it. So when you find out that it's worth it, somebody say it's worth it all. The kids sing a song, it's going to be worth it all. Maybe they can sing it in a minute. It's going to be worth it all, Sister Sue. It's going to be worth it all. What's 80 years, 90, 100, 120, 500 on this earth compared to eternity? So these little things, they're just like little flies, little gnats, you know. Now, in our natural mind, they look big. But in the scope of things, they're really not that big. I told somebody, some people's deliverance is the jest of my mom and daddy put me in a room when grown-ups came over and ignored me. Some people's deliverance is I was molested. You know, we've all grown up with different environments and different atmospheres. But when it's all said and done, what did I do for Jesus Christ? What did I do? In the midst of my circumstance, in the midst of it, what did I do for him? Amen? Because greatness comes out of that. Greatness comes out of that pain. Greatness comes out of last week we had some church and we had some specials and a lot of our ladies got up and sang and brought the glory in. And I said, thank you, Jesus, because sometimes you just want to hear them hymns. Sometimes you just want to hear that organ sound. And sometimes you want to hear this, you know, and it's all great. But when they stepped out, some of you didn't know that one of them wasn't even supposed to be alive. They were supposed to be dead 3 years ago. Wasn't ever supposed to sing again. So if you're sitting there, Pastor needs to get a little more organized. Maybe you don't know that that was the first time they opened their throat back up to sing. But that's the kind of greatness that comes out of this ministry. It's not a place for us to act like we're perfect. It's a place for us, for Jesus to show his perfection through our weakness. He said that our strength is made perfect through his weakness. I mean, the opposite. Our weakness is, how you say it, Brother Floyd? Anyway, we're made perfect through Jesus Christ, through our weaknesses. He's our strength. So, yes. So we're not here to show Cindy's so perfect. She doesn't have any problems. She doesn't have any flaws. So many people come and they think, I can never live up to the standard that I see, but they don't understand that we get in the altar and say, God, I was mean to my husband yesterday. God, I just told my kid off last night. And so we come and we pour all that out. David said, I pour my soul out to God. I pour my soul out, which is my mind, my will, my emotions, what I'm feeling at the time. If I feel hate, I tell God I hate. If I feel weak, I say, God, I need your angels to come and help me right now. I need you to do this through me. And anything that I'm feeling, I say that to God, and then he comes in and he takes over that, because he can do something with somebody don't think they have it all. Some people told me they didn't ever thought they had to pray before they played music. And I was in shock, because when Pastor Pinson asked me to lead the prayer the first time, I thought I had to fast to lead prayer. So I prayed to lead prayer. I didn't know any other way, because I already knew I didn't know how to do it. But when we come in thinking we know how. No, I don't know what Tom needs over there in the back row. I don't know what he needs today. All I can do is prepare my heart and give him a place, give Jesus a place to come out and let him be great through me. All I can do is give him my five songs and say, which one do you want today? And when we operate like that, and at the same time, we're trying to operate in a spirit of excellence in here, so we are asking God to help us in some of those areas to tighten up the loose screws. I said, I need some loose screws tightened up, you know. So this is the year of double order for us. So God is helping us to present. But didn't we do a lot better today? We didn't go so deep so fast. So we're trying, you know, we're trying. So when everyone comes in, they can feel a part and they don't feel left out. Amen? So we just talked about in Genesis where Abraham, God said, I'll make you great, a great nation, a great name, and the whole families and all the world is going to be blessed because of you and all the earth. Now let's look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 10. Thank you, Jesus. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself. Someone say, the seed's in itself. So if I don't have the seed of Jesus, I can't produce religion. You know what I'm saying? Christianity. Because I don't have it. That's why he said your spirit was dead till God gave you life, till you became born again. The seed's in itself. So if we don't have Jesus in us, then all we have is self. and self-righteousness and getting on to people and telling them what for and trying to make them do right. But when we accept him, something new happens on the inside of us, right? So whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And then let's look at verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image. Some of you may have questions about the Trinity. What did he say? In our image? Does that mean there's more than one? There's Father, Son, and Holy Ghost in one. It's kind of like me and Tim are one. But Tim and Angie and children are one. One unit. He said, let's make God, make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing. You got a creep hanging out at your house? Got somebody creeping around you don't want anymore? He said, you have dominion over that. Problem is, we try to take dominion in our flesh. And we have to learn how to do these things by the Spirit of God, because the flesh don't get rid of the creeps. Then you have to get you a gun, then you go to prison. So that don't work, right? Well, that don't work. So God created man, and he said, I want you to have dominion. And then he said, I'm going to create you in my image, male and female. He created them, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. This is what God said about you. This is what he wants you to do. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. Is that greatness? Yes. Dominion is greatness? Yes. So we don't have to have dominion in our flesh. I don't have to prove myself. I don't have to prove myself to my husband. I don't have to prove myself to my children. I take dominion in the spirit realm. If something's amiss, something's not right, I wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and spiritual wickednesses in high places. So I have to go to prayer and say, God, Caleb just said this, so what's this? And with Caleb, I just say, son, I'm so proud of you. You passed that test. I'm so proud. But if something hits your spirit that something might not be God's will or something's wrong, you can't say anything. You can't say, that ain't God. You got to go pray and say, what is this? Why do I feel this? And he showed me a whole thing that wasn't even nothing to do with Caleb. It was something else, another judgment. And I just started pulling that down. Now, when I see him, I love him. And I just let God manifest the fruit of that prayer. I don't try to manifest God's business. I do my part, and then I let it go, and then he comes and does his part. Somebody say, if I pray, he'll display. If I pray, God will display. So all I have to do, if you have trouble with your family, trouble with your children, we all know we've tried the other way, and we've tried and tried and tried, and it doesn't bring change. What brings change is to go in there and find out the root cause, not by talking them to death, not by sitting them down. Why are you preaching at them? God, what did I do? Why is my child acting that way? Can you show me, God, is this something that I did? A lot of times it'll be from grandparents or it'll be from bosses they had in the past, and God will just show you. They don't like authority because this happened to them. Oh, God, I'm so sorry. I didn't know any better. Didn't know any better when I embarrassed him in front of the school, God. And we went over there and whipped him in front of everybody, whipped him in the front of the principal and tore him up in the bathroom. I didn't know any better, God. Would you take that out of my heart? And would you set Caleb free? So what do I do? I don't do anything with Caleb except love him. Want something to eat? Want to go out and eat? One day, though, the door will open up, and I'll say, son, we were wrong when we did that. That was not the right way to handle that. And I just ask you to forgive me. It sounds like I'm less than, but really, I have dominion. Because I have dominion over the principality that's trying to destroy my son. See, people just do. Spirits are like, they get a hold of people and they make them puppets. So even if you talk to people that you need to quit doing them drugs, you need to quit drinking, you need to quit doing them drugs, you know you're gonna die, you're gonna get liver cancer, all your teeth's gonna fall out. They already know. So that doesn't work. So what works is, God, why do they feel like they can't stay off the drugs? Because they try and they go back into it. What's the root, God? And it could just be that a father was so overpowering in that home and so aggressive, and they could never do nothing right. And every time they try to come out of bondage, one little rejection from that wife, one little pointing the finger from that mom, one little something else puts them back in that spiral of that downfall. So if we'll just learn to leave our spouses alone, leave our children alone, and go to God. And then when he tells you something, don't pick up the phone and say, God told me you rebellious. What they going to do? They're going to put a stop sign right here and they're going to be like, well, you the reason I'm rebellious? Because I can't stand you, you know. So somebody say, I have dominion. And the seed is in itself. It's. Let's look at Luke chapter 30. Wait a minute. Chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Thank you, Jesus, for greatness today. Seeds of greatness in our children, Lord. Seeds of greatness in us. We're going to quit telling them what they're not, and we're going to start telling them what they are. We're going to start calling that greatness out of them. Amen? Because Jesus is on the inside of them, and if he's not, just, he said, call things that be not as though they were. Just speak to them like they're already in their destiny. Speak to them like they're already royalty. Speak to them like they're already prophesying and doing God's will. Speak to them like they're already doing the call of God on their life. Speak to them like they can go to college. They can make it through. Speak to them that they can be somebody in this fallen and destructive world, that they don't have to go down with it, that they can rise out of that, that he can make beauty out of those ashes, and we can come forth and we can be something great in our communities and in our families. We can be something great in our children's lives instead of pulling them down with us because we don't feel like we're anybody. We come against that spirit right now, that spirit that tries to pull everybody down because we feel like we don't belong. We feel like we don't have anything. I break your power right now, and you will not come on our children. You will not come on Freedom Ministries children. You will not come on this city in the name of Jesus. I pull you out of this city. I pull you out of the schools. I pull you out of the lawyer's office, doctor's office, pull you out of the government, pull you out of the police force. You spirit that wants to belittle people and make them feel less than, so you feel like you're good enough, you come out in the name of Jesus. Grandchildren are royalty.
Yeah.
But you may be sitting here thinking, I don't have that. I don't feel like anything's great about me. I'm a failure. Haven't done anything for anybody in my life. I just live for myself. Let's look at Luke 1. When the promise of the seed was to come to Mary. Just like I'm telling you that there's an opportunity for you to have that seed on the inside of you. Let's read how it happens. Verse 34, Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? How can this be because I haven't been raised in church? How can this be because I don't know anything but drugs and alcohol and sex? How can I be any different? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing, somebody say that holy thing, that greatness on the inside of me, which shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of God. Someone say, when I accept Jesus, that holy thing, I don't even like to call him a thing, that holy, holy, holy seed comes on the inside of me. And 1 Peter says that we're not born of corruptible seed. I'm born of incorruptible seed. So that seed, you can destroy my body. You can destroy my flesh. You can beat me up. You can tear me down. You can tell me you don't want me. You can do all those things, but you can't kill that. You can put me in a straitjacket. You can trample on me. You can do any of that, but you cannot kill the seed on the inside of me because it's incorruptible. It's infallible. It's impregnable. It's supernatural. So if you never believed in the supernatural, that's what's happening to people that are Christians. It's kind of like an alien comes in because, you know, we ain't even of this world anyway. Bible says we're not of this world anyway. We're in this world. So the seed of Jesus Christ is the thing that we want, the holiness that we want to come on the inside of us. So if you want to do anything for your kids today, let them see Jesus through you. Let them see Jesus manifested. Let them see that there's something real besides religion and church and pews and stained glass windows. Let them see you go feed the hungry. Let them see you call somebody and say, I just wanted to check on you this week. Let them see you go to the nursing home. Let them see you make some fruit baskets. Let them see you do something besides doing something for yourself. Then they may think this thing is real. They may see some realness. They may actually want that seed on the inside of them so they can make a difference, so greatness can come out of them. I'm going to hit religion. I can feel it every time I hit it. When does religion want to sit on you? When you ask it to do something. Religion wants to be fed. Who wants to sit down and you feed me and you do everything for me, but don't ask me to do anything. But God, we just give you praise that there's seeds of greatness in this house. There's seeds of greatness on the inside of us. Let's look at Matthew chapter 18. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Somebody say, I don't want to be great. I don't care nothing about being great. Well, they were striving over it. They were always wanting to know who's going to sit by them. So let's just be honest today. We kind of do want to be somebody in life. I don't want to be nothing. It's okay to want to be great. Amen. And Jesus called a little child unto them and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as a little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. So let's look at Matthew 20. Verse 25. But Jesus called to them and said unto them, you know, the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. He's talking about using your authority the wrong way. He says, but it shall not be so among you. But whoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. Minister means to serve. A lot of people want to get a degree and just call themselves a minister. I'm this and I'm that. I got my license. Well, if you look up minister, it means to serve. Ministers are there for the people, amen. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. So somebody say, well, I see how to be great.
I see how to be great.
I must become a servant before I can be great.
I must become a servant before I can be great.
But Jesus said, they were all just striving in another place. I think it's in Luke where they were striving about who's going to be the greatest. And he said, I come among you as a servant. But then a few verses down, he said, I give you a kingdom. I appoint you a kingdom. So he does have greatness for us, but we have to become a servant to get that greatness. We have to do it his way. We can't just go do our own thing. We come and serve another man's ministry, and we let God raise us up and let him work through our life. But he said, if you're going to be the greatest, then you're going to have to be the least. You're going to have to be a servant. Amen? Amen. So, God, we thank you for showing us, God. Another way how we become great is Matthew 5:19. Let's look at Matthew 5:19. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So another way we become great, becoming great is our destiny, letting God do what he wants to through our life, is teach the word. Matthew 5:19, he said, if you teach the word, you become great. Another way is he said that there's no greater love than those that lay their life down for their friend. And another way is becoming as that little child, you know, John 1:45. Let's look at that. Somebody say, I'm getting the word today. John 1:45. I saw this one day months ago when I was praying. It was so exciting to me because I understand becoming like that little child, that stepping out in faith is like that little child. And religion wants to laugh at it and be witty about it and say cute remarks, but If you'll have that childlike faith, God will take you into the miracles. He will take you into the supernatural. But it's going to take that childlike faith. Because he said, if you don't become as that child, you're not going to enter into the kingdom. Right? So he shows us how to do it. So John 1:45, Philip finds Nathanael and said unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there be any good thing out of Nazareth? Can there be anything good out across it? Philip said unto him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said unto him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit. See, a child ain't, you know, the little bitty child, they're innocent. No deceit, no guile. Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under a fig tree, you believe me? That's all it took. I didn't have to grow an arm out. I didn't have to raise the dead. You just saw me under a fig tree and you believed me, Nathanael. And because you did that, greater things than these are coming, he said. And he said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man, because you have that childlike faith. You hadn't turned hard and stubborn and religious. You still believe me for what I said. I said I heal, so you believe I heal. I said I restore, so you believe I restore. I said that I can make all things new, so you believe all things are new. And you quit going around and beating yourself up and staying in the old nature all the time because you believe what God said when he said all things have passed away and behold, all things have become new. I believe that what I did yesterday is not there anymore. I believe what I did yesterday is under the blood. I believe when I repented that all things are new today because His mercy is new every morning. I believe that I don't have to do something to prove myself to my Father that He loves me so I can get up and I can operate in childlike faith. Hallelujah. That you can't do it this time. I take authority over you and I command you to loose your hold off of God's people because it's not about us anyway. It's not about me anyway. It's about the seed of greatness on the inside of me. The seed of greatness is coming out and He's going to do what He wants to do through my life.